Well, speaking about the popular support, the possible strategies for gaining popular support for progressive parties, at least in Latvia, we first have to understand that there is a fallacy, at least in historical narratives and also in international relations theory, speaking about the three Baltic states as being almost equal. Yes, indeed, they were rather equal in the early 1990s when they regained independence from the Soviet Union, but they've gone totally different way, all three of them. And therefore, the strategies in the three states will differ, and I believe Tomas and my colleague from Lithuania will have their input on how they see the progressive strategies in their respective countries. So, first of all, Latvia differed from Estonia and Lithuania also historically due to the fact, which is very often in Latvian public discourse forgotten, it's the events of 1959. This is the purge of national communists, particularly Edvards Berklaus, to the interior of the Soviet Union, and basically which started the extremely heavy centralization campaign as different from Lithuania and Estonia. So in a way, rather ironically, those were Lithuanian communists and Estonian communists who were able to at least take care of their respective populations, of their respective economies, because in Latvia there was the centralization from the Kremlin imposed after the events of 1959. And there have been several researches about that, the reasons why Khrushchev acted like that, why not. But it has an effect on Latvian body politics also in a post-independence era. So also the research of my colleague from Uppsala University, Lee Benning Björkman, shows that, for example, civil society activities in Estonia were significantly different from Latvia. Also in Lithuania, the Catholic Church played the role which in Latvia, basically, there was no one opposed to the official dogma of the state. And I want to underline the dogma because either it was the centrally planned Leninist economy or after independence, the neoliberal creed of Washington consensus, there have been very, very meager resistance to the official dogma of the state-led ideological discourse. So which distinguishes Latvia from the rest of the Baltic states. And therefore, if we speak about the successful strategies, we have to come down to the present situation. And the present situation is that in terms of the party political system, we've come back to the square one, where we were in 1991. I don't want to say that, no, 20 years been wasted. No, it's not what I'm saying. What I basically want to say, in terms of the development of a party political system, Latvia hasn't developed political parties in the socioeconomic spectrum as it is, even in Lithuania and in Estonia. So basically, what we have, if we look at it from the progressive point of view, we have Social Democratic Party, which failed to rally behind its core constituency. We have Latvian Greens, which are totally different from the homologues in the European Union. We have Harmony Center Party. We have socially liberal Society for Different Politics, which are on opposing camps. And they are parts of the political unions, which are inherently unstable. They are not political parties. So that's the real situation. So therefore, to understand where can Latvian progressive electorate go, this is already rather motley bunch of the parties, so that the voter have to decide, okay, where do we wanna go? So that's my bottom line, saying that we are at the square one. So therefore, when we are at the square one, we have to understand which political parties should be supported. What are the voter? So, in order to understand who is the voter of the progressive parties, obviously we have to do a sociological research. I don't have it at hand, but definitely if we look on a way forward, then that should be the first thing, understand who is the core voter of the progressive parties in Latvia. So for progressive strategy to succeed, there is one thing. There must be a realization of the situation in Latvia, because in addition to the rather numerous progressive parties in Latvia, we also have a situation when we really don't have political parties, because even which is similar to Lithuania, where the founders of the party, the number is 200. In Estonia, we have it increased to the 1,000. So in this sense, Latvian political parties are rather minuscule. They are not political parties in a Western European sense. They are the pressure groups. And by all the measurements on the EU countries, the membership in political parties in Latvia is the lowest amongst all 27. In addition to that, if we look on the representation in the parliament, we have political unions instead of parties. Another thing which differs us from Estonia and Lithuania is that we don't have real legal base for proper public finance system. And while in Estonia it was introduced back in 1993, in Lithuania 1994, finally there is at least movement in a parliament at this moment that it should be the mandatory tax and property declaration system should be introduced as of 1st of July of this year. Also, in electoral law, we are the only EU country, in addition to Malta, which doesn't finance political parties from the state budget. And it should be, so the law is stipulated last year, so it finally political parties should be started to be financed from the state budget from the next year. Also, and last but not least, we have rather questionable head of the Corruption Prevention Bureau. We have rather questionable ombudsman. Even though I understand and during discussions we can discuss about it, but the thing is that if we speak about the heads of these institutions, then they should be really with the skills and the knowledge which is needed for performing those tasks. Here again, this was very much thanks to the former president of Latvia, Vairovīte Freiberga, who was pushing for creating this institution of ombudsman, while in the same Estonia and Lithuania, the citizens of those states, also progressive voters, can use the services of that office for quite many years already. So therefore, while looking on the situation, obviously, we also have to look on the role of trade unions, and trade unions, obviously, when they see such a heterogeneous bunch of political parties, they obviously pose a question to whom should we support as a one of the numerous non-governmental organizations in a country. So therefore, the implicit link between the trade unions and political parties in Latvia is rather missing. So in this case, while answering to these questions which were posed by the organizers of the conference, I will start little by little. And here, as the first question is obviously, then how can social democracy appear as distinctive and modern from the Latvian perspective? There is no question. We already discussed about the Danish flexicurity system. Professor Jorgensen explained it in a nutshell. I'm not going to repeat here. But stemming from the same idea, we have the Scandinavian model progressive taxation system, which is not only Scandinavian, most of the European countries have it. There is the innovations in education system, obviously, and one of the most fundamental things is the rule of law. There is competitive and green economy, flexible labor law. So basically, these are the distinct and rather modern properties of the progressive parties, which could be put into the discourse for progressive parties being successful in the election campaign. Because one thing which hasn't been discussed in Latvia so far is that the electorate is changing in Latvia, and also if you use sociological firms, you get the answers that the society is not the homogeneous bunch of people who think the same. It is becoming more and more atomized, basically the same problem, which is in most of industrially developed countries what Bob Putnam spoke in his article of 2000 about bowling alone, speaking about the people being atomized. It's the same problem here, perhaps on a more profound level, because the crumbling of the Soviet centrally planned economic system, and with it also the welfare system, has left very, very broad swathes of society rather unsecure, to be diplomatic here. So here is another question which is posed, whether there is a process of undermining the democracy of such, And I believe here is one of the best grounds for the populist discourse, which is taking place not only in Latvia, but in most of the world's countries, and particularly in Eastern and Central Europe, where the famous quotation, particularly stemming from the Mr. Mukhin of 1993, when he equated democracy with dermokrasi, or the shit rule, as it's sometimes euphemistically is compared. So therefore, whenever we discuss about democracy, it's rather simplistic to speak about it as something divine. But if we speak about the democracy, then my distinct characteristics of democracy are the free press, transparent and competitive election process, where losers accept defeat without calling their supporters to boycott constitutional duties. There are major liberties constitutionally guarded, and majority rule exists together with minority rights respected. If you look on all those characteristics in Latvia, we have problems with the free press, we have problems with losers accepting defeat, particularly after the elections of 2006, and I'm rather happy to see that there have been tremendous pressure from the civil society and also from our Western partners. So therefore, there have been upgrading of the political system, particularly the most important one, the amendment of election law of 2009, which omitted the ill-famous party locomotives, which were really destroying the transparent and open election process in Latvia. So therefore, if we still ask the question whether there is process undermining democracy as such, then the insecurity and the neoliberal rule, which has continuously continued in Latvia starting from the early 90s, has indeed created a situation when just 2 years ago there was the famous Dina pollster asking whether you support coup d'etat a la 15th of May of 1934. For those who don't know Latvian history, that is a date when a Latvian autocratic prime minister at that time made a coup d'etat and abolished the constitution and the parliament and ruled until the demise of Latvia after the Soviet occupation. So, and the answer to this pollster was almost a quarter of the of those polled answered that they are ready for coup d'etat, they are ready for a strong hand. So there are rather significant signals that really democracy is at the danger. And while looking on these slides where you see the trust in government, trust in parliament, trust in political parties, or let's say non-trust in political parties, because if you look that the trust in political parties in Latvia, which is hovering below 5% for the last 4 years, this is already close to the sociological deviance. So these questions obviously must be posed by the government and also by the Progressive Party members themselves in order to get the act together and act as a group together, because the basic tools are basically devised and already being discussed here, and I believe during the question and answer session we will touch upon them as well. So, continuing with the next question of whether there is detachment and demobilization in society and how to overcome it, already I mentioned the Bob Putnam and Bowling Alone phenomenon. Emanuel Wallerstein has been rather vocal lately, particularly focusing on events in the North African and Maghreb. There have been many media outlets, particularly CNN and BBC, equating the Northern African events with the events in Eastern Europe, even though they are not comparative in a sense, because the social structure of these two regions is different. But if you speak about the problems stemming from the financial economic system having brunt of the brunt of resources and leaving unemployment rates in North African states more than 30%, obviously it explains you why such a revolutionary upheavals are there. Okay? So, therefore, if we speak about the problems and how they could be solved, then obviously the easiest answer is to initiate and start discussions. Discussions are being ongoing, and if you look on today's venue, we are discussing here as well. And to be honest, I would be more happy to see more young people and more of a Latvian audience here listening to what we are discussing here, because unfortunately, sometimes it feels that there is always the same number of people, almost like an ivory tower, discussing the same problems on and on and on. Then they continue in a Facebook or in a Twitter, but they don't trickle down to the lowest level of society, which should be really the A and Z. So therefore, if you ask me how to overcome this problem of society, I believe it was Atis who already mentioned that the problem in Latvia, the lack of trust, which is caused very much by the endemic and embedded corruptive system, which is being discussed by Italian authors while comparing the Italian mafia state of the 50s till 80s. There are also Czech and Polish authors, Mr. Graban and others I've been referring here in my presentation, who say that basically these mafia-like structures being embedding they networks in the civil service, and Latvia is not spared from it as well. So therefore, one of the primary tasks for Latvia and for having progressive vote coming in a full force is to solve these corruption problems. And here, really, agreement not only amongst the political elites, but there must be pressure from the civil society, because if you look on the how societies work, then state, market, and civil society, they are interlinked. And if you just say that someone must work on their own, obviously, then civil society cannot work on its own. Also, what I noticed while studying in Finland, and perhaps my Danish colleagues can add to this, and which is not used in Latvia at all, is in public debates, there is usually debates happen to take the whole of audience as a whole, not distinguishing it between the age cohorts. And if you look on the just evolving debate about the pensions in Latvia, I believe this should be also the scheme of overcoming sometimes misinformed debate in Latvia. So basically, if you ask me, I would advise the discussion in format of age cohorts of 18 to 30, 30 to 50, 50 to 65, 65 and older, because each and every one of these age cohorts have their own interests. There are totally young people, there are young families, then there is the pre-pension age, and then are pensioners. And each and every one of them have different interests, they have different needs. So therefore, while looking for debate, I believe also political parties, when they design their schemes, they should think about these different age cohorts. So moving on, how many minutes do I still have?
Minus two,
all right. Thank you. So basically, I have I was thinking a bit differently. But if we speak about the framework for the new socioeconomic paradigm for Europe, we already touched upon those issues. I'm not going to speak about this here. Just the two things which I want to add is that I believe that Freedom Solidarity Fund as a think tank is something to start from, and I would be happy to seeing the same think tanks in other political parties which would be forming in Latvia. Plus, in addition to that, I would be really happy to see if Latvia would go the German way and create something as the let's say the state-funded civic education center, or what exists in Germany as Bundeszentrale für politische Bildung, because at the situation when people are misinformed, when during the last 20 years we have come back to the situation of square one, people are disoriented. So for a progressive voter to have they single understanding where they move, there should be some kind of educational work going, and this until now in Latvia has been lacking, and I better stop here, and afterwards in Q&A session I can add to this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.